Hi, I'm Mike Sainsbury, and in this ASI cast, our research director, Richard Marks, catches up with Dominique Van Genest, GfK's head of TV audience measurement, in which role he's responsible globally for the company's TAM business and product development. The wide-ranging interview draws upon some key takeaways from our recent APAC TV conference, which confirmed to Dominique that, as he puts it, we've moved into the era beyond people meter-based TAM. Yet this new era of data integration gives rise to a number of challenges that industry needs to address, especially the need to ensure transparency and to ensure that solid research disciplines underpin all our efforts. As the broadcast industry undergoes transformational changes, there's an understandable sense of urgency to secure solid insights into the process as it unfolds. In our rush to do this, we need to be sure that the focus on such insights and headline conclusions does not get too far removed from examination of the research approach adopted or the numbers that underpin the work.
Well, welcome, Dominique. You've spoken at ASI conferences a number of times in the past, but can you update us about what your current role with GfK involves?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Richard. GfK has its own dedicated division for media measurement, so my role is head of TV audience measurement. That involves business and product development responsibilities on a global scale. Today we operate or set up TAM services in about 10 different countries, which includes Singapore, which is of course in the APAC region, but also Brazil, Saudi Arabia. At the same time, we are invited continuously for new tenders all over the world. We offer our complete TAM portfolio globally that goes from meters to reporting and analysis software. So I'm in the middle of that every day and sometimes every night. It's a busy job, but I enjoy it very much.
And you were with us in Singapore recently. I think I heard that the service in Singapore is due to go live later this summer, or is it the autumn?
That is correct. It will be, depends on the summer in Europe versus the summer in Singapore. It should be towards September. So that is the target date, and we are still well on track. So that's the plan, yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll get some data from that from next year's conference, which we're planning to have around about the same time in the same place. So that'll be interesting to get some actual Singapore data. Obviously, I mentioned you were at the ASI conference in Singapore. What were your main takeaways from the audience in terms of where the measurement industry is headed at the moment, do you think?
Yeah, well, I think it was a success, not only by the number of attendants, so Mike might always count the number of people, but also the contributions that I think are really very important. For us at GfK, it is a unique opportunity to meet, exchange, learn, and yes, also to shine as researchers. So what are my main takeaways? First of all, I think we have now fully entered the era of what I call beyond people meter-based TAM. There are a few key countries like the Netherlands, France, UK, and the other ones that you highlighted, Richard, which are now pushing boundaries to integrate other video consumption with traditional TAM. It is happening now. The main suppliers, I mean, we all know them. It's Nielsen, Kantar, Mediametry, and GfK. We're all heading in a similar direction, and I see competition being tough. But the key jigs, and that's the one I mentioned before, they are in the driving seat. So they are pushing the boundaries. We are giving them the support which is needed to move forward. So that is one. Secondly, I saw a vivid interest in APAC to move from syndicated to jig-based TAM services. Also there is some important movement ongoing at the moment. The focus is less on innovation, but on the necessity to organize and self-regulate the measurement for a currency. That is high on their priority. And then three, for me personally, the contributions from JIGS, which is the one from OSTAM, from MDA and other ones, they're always very interesting because they are at the heart of my day-to-day business, of course. But the most important one was for me the presentation of COSP, the French organization, presentation by Olivier Dauphine, who was the most interesting because it illustrated that the governance of a TAM service is the most important condition for its success. This is the heart of what we are doing. It's building a consensus around a number. And what CSP was bringing us as guidance, as best practice, was maybe not that revealing, but was still at the heart of what we are doing. So yes, I will be back next time in Singapore.
Hey, I think you asked a very important question from the floor, which was about the issue of transparency, as I recall, in terms of whether that might actually scare clients as well as reassure them, in terms of we're moving from an era where people largely understand how people meter panels work to one in which there's going to be a lot more focus on hybrid methodologies for video measurement. I think you mentioned a few of the countries just then. From GfK's perspective, what are the priorities, do you think, in terms of cross-platform video measurement?
Well, GfK offers its hybrid method, which is meant to complement traditional ratings on people meters. Today, our toolbox, which we call meters, either hard or software meters, it's pretty complete. We have different solutions for different platforms. They're all tested, they're out of the lab, and they're rolled out in large quantities. But the one and foremost priority is on integrating the data sets to a coherent, robust, and a stable database that delivers the insight that our clients are asking for. I see a lot of disappointment, even dissatisfaction among clients on how research companies fulfill the promise. So we have to do better. Mm-hmm. We at GfK, we are investing in expertise to bring together audience data of different nature and different granularity in reporting tools that are easy to use, bring immediate insights, and are accessible on all current devices. So, I mean, what is the priority? For me, there is one priority, and I'm just repeating what I said 3 years ago at the first Venice conference at the first AC conference in Venice, that is, data integration is our priority.
Mm. You mentioned that you thought there was some frustration from clients. What do you think are their main frustrations at the moment? I mean, there's a lot in development, but it does seem to be moving at a fairly gradual pace, shall we say, as opposed to a quick pace.
Yeah. I mean, my experience is that well-developed markets consider the responses that we are giving to them, and that is not only GfK, to be not sufficiently complete, one. Secondly, not to be sufficiently evidence-based. So what they ask is hard numbers, hard facts. They want to see the expertise of companies like ours building rock-solid services that allows them, and that is mainly the JICs, and I'm really talking Europe mainly at the moment, that is giving them the evidence that they need to prove towards their clients, the end users, especially the advertisers, of course, but also the agencies, that what we deliver is as solid as the traditional people meter-based data. Now, you mentioned before that transparency is important. That is true, and I mentioned that explicitly. But it was also an issue when we started delivering people meters data so many years ago. Also then, people considered that to be the black box, and it was a black box, actually.
Literally.
I think there is fairly well understood and common knowledge on how it works. The deep layers of how data are produced and delivered might not be completely clear for everybody, but it is to the key people and the directors of the different JICs. We need to go through a similar movement now with creating transparency on how we integrate data from different sources. And that is another challenge and probably the same priority as I mentioned before. That is how we make it clear that our integration is understood and accepted by everybody.
Do you think there's a bit of a general skills gap in the audience measurement industry, specifically around that area? It seems that a lot of the companies involved are quite reliant on key people to actually sort of explain and do the integrations. Is that something where we need to be recruiting more people into the industry, you think? Not specifically researchers, but more, you know, geared around stats and analysis and modeling?
Yes, definitely. I mean, you really hit the point. We need to bring more expertise and especially new expertise from other sectors. people coming from data mining or from business intelligence need to complement what we have been doing. And sometimes some of us have been doing that lifelong. I mean, seems like research is a lifetime career. And I think that is something where we need to improve on. We seem to be the notaries of TV audience measurement. So bringing in people and skill sets from other sectors will drive us forward.
You mentioned the word researchers, and I know at a panel session we had a couple of years back, it may also have been in the first Venice conference, come to think of it, you did say that the word research should not be something we're scared of. I know a number of companies are keen to push the idea of data science and information management, but from your perspective, why do you think we should be reclaiming the word research?
Yeah, I remember that very well because it triggered quite a bit of debate in the audience. Actually, I do support that market and opinion research requires a unique skill set, but also an independent position. I think I mentioned both elements when I mentioned that explicitly. Today, it seems as if the numbers that should underlie every good decision are a bit of a nuisance. It takes time to collect them, and it takes money to pay them. And the focus is so much on insights and easy to absorb conclusion. And that is all fine, but I think we should not fool ourselves. We should continue to give evidence of how a number is collected and how a conclusion is obtained. That will always be key for a good decision. So I think that expertise and independence is essential for all of us. And so, yes, let's continue to call that research. Let's not try to claim a fancy name which might disappear soon again. I think there is no need to change that word. I think research does it well.
And what can we do as an industry, do you think, to effectively reclaim or rebrand that word? Because it does seem that some people in the industry are a bit scared of it now, that it's seen as a bit old-fashioned and not big data friendly, that it's sort of legacy word, as it were. I don't agree with that, but it is something people have said to me, don't use the word research, put data science in instead. That sounds sexier.
Yeah. Well, I think we should refuse that. I think we never really lost the word research. I mean, when you use the word research in an academic circle, it is still a valuable way of expressing a very valuable activity. So let's not throw it away. Let's not leave that word. I think it just got pushed back in the priority set of our clients because we are a cost item on their balance sheet. And cost items is not something which is very attractive. It's new business which seems to be shining. But how can we make it shine more? I think that is your question. I think we can improve on three levels. And the first one I already mentioned, that is the bringing in of new expertise. What we can also do is deliver what we promise, or not to promise something before we have a proof of concept. I think that is something which will strengthen our skill set and our importance in the eyes of the clients. And three, I think that when we bring these insights, we should always also explain together with the numbers how we obtain the numbers, not just what is the conclusion, but also how did we come to that conclusion? How did we collect it? Not too long, not too detailed, but give some key elements that prove that the number is not just picked somewhere from the air, but has been based on a well-established, accepted, and approved methodology. And I think that is the way we can reclaim the word research.
And at the end of the day, what we're mainly trading in is the ability to create a currency, and people need to have faith in those currencies and actually believe that the figures are obviously reliable, but also coming from reputable sources and well thought through methodologies. So I guess that's part of the process, but yeah, brilliant. Okay, well, thanks for that, and thanks for making the time to speak to us on this episode of the ASI Cast. I've lost track. I think this is number 32. And hopefully we'll catch up with you in Budapest in November, which is the next ASI event, the International Television and Radio event. And thanks for making the time to speak to us.
Thank you, Richard. Always a pleasure to talk to you. And for sure, we will meet in Budapest. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks.